It's a privilege to speak to you tonight. Looking for my remote control. It's always a privilege. When Pastor asked me, it was interesting because I've been going through this struggle in my life, and I thought, wow, that's interesting, because right when Pastor talked to me about it, I felt like the Lord said, you need to share this struggle with everybody. I said, really? Because I would rather appear a little more put together than that, and I would rather appear a little more complete and spiritual than that. And so it's funny because, you know, I know you've had this happen where all that happened in a split second, and I tried to forget about it. Do you do that? I just kind of went on with things. And then as I was praying about tonight, you know, this is last week, and I felt like God said, remember what we talked about? And I kind of chuckled, and I said, what do you mean we? You know, and so let me give you a little backstory here. Many of you know that I'm a big fan of the YouVersion Bible app. And if you want to follow along with this sermon, the notes are in the Bible app. All you have to do is go to the menu, go to live. All you have to do is go to live, and your phone or your tablet or whatever you have. I see Frank's holding up his Bible, which is good, Frank. I appreciate that. Yeah, show off, exactly. He knows how to read in paper. If you go to live, it should pop up live event. It should pop up right away as Crown Point Church in this event. What's great about that in the Bible app, what I love about it, one of the many things, is that, like, for instance, the first thing in there is a question. It's this question: why is prayer so difficult? You can answer that question. It'll be totally anonymous. And I'll go back in and see your responses. I won't know who wrote them unless, no, I won't. There's no way for me to know that. But what I really like about it is it's a tool for you personally to grow in your faith. So much of what we do in church is we try to provide opportunities for you to grow, like this conference. We do Sunday school. We provide church services and worship and preaching. And we provide all these things, but we can't make you grow. That's between you and yourself and God. And the more work you put into it, the more you will grow. So the more effort you do, and this is just another tool for you to use. You can write right in there. You can write your own responses. It's for you. That's what we do it for. So the reason I go to the extra trouble to put all those in the computer is because that way you can use it for yourself. That's why it's there. But I also love this Bible app because it provides so many reading plans for reading the Bible. Now, I've been a Christian my whole life, really. I remember accepting Christ. I was 10 years old. I remember we had a missionary from Africa. He was a white guy, really tanned with an afro. That's really all I remember about him. But I will never forget that night because I remember really feeling just that I needed to repent and come to the altar. And I was 10 years old. I remember that. I grew up in a family where we prayed together. We read the Bible occasionally together. My Bible reading was encouraged. I grew up going to kids' church, children's church, memorizing the books of the Bible, lots of memory verses. I grew up your classic Christian young man, and so the Bible has been a big part of my life. We did Bible quiz when I was in high school, quiz on the book of John. Still have a lot of that memorized. It's just tucked in there. But there have been periods of my life where I would realize it's been a month and I haven't read the Bible. Now, I was, like I said, I've been a Christian my whole life. I've been in full-time Christian ministry for nearly 30 years as a pastor. And during that time, one of the pastor could attest to this, and anybody who's in the ministry or has been can attest to this. There's times where a conflict that you have is, as you're reading scripture, there's a lot of times where you're reading it and you think, wow, this will preach. And I feel a correction from the Lord saying, that's not why I have you reading this right now. I'm having you read this for you. And then scripture or sermon prep is another time, which is fine. We have plenty. That's what we, you know, it's funny. There's times where, you know, I love smart Alex, and Jeff has another word for that, but I love smart Alex, and I love people who, you know, smart off all the time and sarcastic. I love sarcasm. And one of my youth pastors at Sheffield that worked with me, his dad used to call and say, so I hope I didn't interrupt you guys praying. That's what you do, right? You know, he's joking. His son's a pastor, and he's joking. He goes, or you're reading the Bible, right? Praying or reading the Bible, that's what you do all day. You know, and we're just like, well, yeah, that is what we do. So my point, though, is there have been times in my life, of all my life as a Christian and then even as a minister, where I'd realize I haven't read the Bible just reading the Bible. So I know we're about prayer, but I'm giving you the backstory. So that's one of the things I love so much about this Bible app, is because I've used it ever since it came out years and years ago. And I would pick a different reading plan and go through it. Some of them are topical. They have ones on joy or reading through, you know, the Gospels or whatever. I mean, there's so many of them, hundreds of them from all different ministries. You know, they're just, it's whatever suits you, you can do it. Long, short. Some of them are long where it'll have you read multiple chapters. Some are short. I mean, and they'll have a devotional part and then the scripture part. And again, it's up to you, right? If you're going to do it. And it's improved my Bible reading tremendously in the last few years, just the consistency. And then it was about a year and a half, and I know I've shared this multiple times, so I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about this, but about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago now, I just wanted to read the whole Bible through because I realized it had been years since I did that. I couldn't even remember the last time. I mean, I knew I did it in high school. I knew I did it in Bible college. I know I'd done it before, but I couldn't even remember the last time. And it wasn't like I needed to mark something off and say, oh, I read the Bible through. I wasn't going to tell everybody, hey, read the Bible through. It had nothing to do with that. It's just something I really felt like I wanted to do. So I looked in the reading plans and I found one. I wanted to do it faster than a year. I don't know why. I just wanted to. So I found one that was 8 months. So I just started it. And I didn't realize what I was getting into. Maybe you've heard me tell this, but the first day it opens up and there's 10 chapters to read. And I thought, oh, Lord. That's a lot. And I, you know, it's not like I've never read 10 chapters, but in this particular Bible reading plan, it's called Professor Horner's Bible reading plan. It says, don't read it slow or like devotionally, read it quickly, but not so fast you're skimming. And the idea is that you're going to read these 10 chapters and you know, you're obviously paying attention. And then the next day is another 10 chapters and it works its way through 10 parts of the Bible all at the same time. And after about a month of doing that, you find out, I'm reading something in Matthew that relates to what I'm reading right now in the book of Kings. That is amazing. And you see all these connections. Your mind, the human mind is amazing. God made us, her brain's so incredible. And a lot of times we don't use them in ways that do this. But as I was reading that plan, I thought, I'm never going to do another reading plan in my life. This is amazing. So I've been doing that for, you know, almost 2 years. And then my kids are old enough, my older two, 13 and 14, that I've been trying to get them to do reading plans, and they've been doing them, which is great. But one of my dreams as a pastor and a father has been to do that with them. So that's what I've been doing. So Theo started this plan, and I started the plan with him. And then Grace started a plan, so I started hers with hers. And I was already doing this extra one that I just liked. Are you counting? These are four plans. And I'm not telling you that because I'm proud of it. It's just, I thought, you know what? I'm going to do this because I want to read this along with Theo. So at night when I go to pray with him, I say, did you read your portion? Now, I'd read it in the morning, like before 6, and then he's reading it, you know, before bed, and we talk about it. And I'm going to do that with Grace. And you know what I realized? I was forgetting to pray. Isn't that ridiculous? It's like... I was really enjoying scripture in a whole new way, and I was finding things I'd never really noticed before, and familiar verses were coming alive in a whole new way, and it was incredible. And I was realizing, wow, I mean, I pray all through the day, and that's wonderful if that's what you do. I'm not criticizing that. I do that. But what I'm saying is that time alone with God. And we have scheduled times at church, you know, the pastoral staff, we pray every Wednesday morning, and there's other times I pray, but what had happened was I had let that drop off because it's like, well, I've got to get my reading done, and I don't want to just plow through it. I mean, this is meaningful, and I don't want to waste this time, but I found that this other part of my spiritual life was struggle. It was struggling, and I felt so convicted, and this was, you know, weeks ago where I just felt so convicted, and here's what I felt like God was saying to me is, I miss my time with you. I'm glad you're in the Word. You need to do that. But I miss that time. And it was weird because You know, your mind, you know how our minds are. We just, all these thoughts flood in at the same time. And I'm thinking, really me? Because I'll bet you Jeff was praying. I'll bet Richard, no, I'm kidding. You know, I did say that though. I mean, I did think that, you know, and I felt like, he goes, well, I have plenty of time for each of you. You know, he's God. He misses time with me. And part of me was saying me, because, you know, I'm not that big a deal. And he's like, I know, but I miss my time with you. And I've really had to just confront that, God. So what we're going to do tonight, like I said, we're going to walk through my thought process and how I walked through that with him, and you know, weeks ago, and have been working through that on a daily basis, where this is as important as this Bible reading time. So why is it so difficult? Why is it? I don't want to ask that rhetorically. I'm asking, why is it so difficult? Any thoughts just that come to your mind? It's easy to get distracted. Very easy. What else? Why is it so difficult? Can you be discouraged? Yes. And someone said something over in this area. Just don't want to. You know, let me just say this too. This is something that really is something that we all struggle with, whether you've been a Christian for years and years and years, or new at Christianity, or whatever. Why else is it so difficult? Anybody? Yeah, you do have to be vulnerable. That's good. You have to be vulnerable. Any other thoughts? Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I could tell him what I, my aunt, yeah. Sometimes it's a matter of belief. Yes. Right. Frank was saying, sometimes it's a matter of belief. Is this really going to work? Is it going to end? Is there going to be an answer? Well, let's walk through some of the things I was saying. The first thing that hit me so hard was schedule. Time management is a struggle for a lot of people. Now, I know people who are super disciplined, and every part of their life is measured out. And I like that, but it doesn't always work for me, because especially, you know, in my ministry, in my job, if somebody calls, that's my job. That changes everything. So when the phone rings, I drop what I had scheduled. It's not like I can say, sorry, I could call you back as soon as I'm done planning out the kids' service for this next week, you know. That doesn't work. So there's times where schedules become difficult. And if I don't schedule, now this sounds maybe too, what's the word here? It doesn't sound spiritual. But if I don't schedule it and stick to it and manage my time for this, I lose it. It doesn't happen. And that's true with so many things in life. You know, I know people who want to work out and they say, oh, I need to do that. And like, okay, well, I'll be there at 6. And they'll say, I'm in bed at 6. Yeah, I get that, and I do. But if it's important, you're going to schedule it, and you're going to make time for it. And I really felt convicted about that, because I thought, I make time for other things, and I plan ahead, and I do have a calendar in my phone right next to the app for my Bible. And I could plan this. I plan other things. I could plan this. And it's important to schedule it. I need to be disciplined about that, like I want to be disciplined about other things. You know what else I felt convicted about? Is I know, and I know you all know this, that we create habits for ourselves. Some of them we fall into because we just do things over and over and over, and then you realize, oh, I've got a habit of whatever it is. But we have habits. We can schedule habits. You can create a habit, a good habit of spending time in prayer specifically for him. Someone mentioned distraction. Oh, man. I can sometimes be really easily distracted, especially in prayer. And I think part of it is because prayer is such an abstract thing. You know, it takes a higher functioning of our brain for prayer to work, because it is not a concrete thing that you're touching and writing. You're praying to a God you can't see. You're praying to a God. I know some of us feel him all the time, but sometimes we don't. Sometimes we're praying and we miss that part of it. And because of the abstract nature, it's easier to be distracted. And thoughts come in. Maybe you have too much on your mind and you're thinking, God, I want to pray, but I cannot focus to save my life. You know what I do? I know it's all about the phone today, but I have this incredible app called Evernote, and there's a lot of them like this, but it goes directly to my computer. I just write a note, and then it's off my mind, and I'm back to prayer. And maybe for you, that doesn't sound spiritual. But you know what it does? It frees my mind of those stray thoughts that are coming in and distracting me. And I need that sometimes because those thoughts are important and I don't want to forget it, because sometimes I think, you know what? As I'm praying, God's dropping those things in my mind. If it's someone I need to talk to or call or pray for again or whatever, that is a spiritual exercise then for me to write it down and remember it. Another part of that is, you know, that feedback loop, and I don't know if this is where you're going with the distraction, but I know Frank alluded to it, and there's times where we pray and we don't get an answer. So it makes it difficult to pray again the next time because you're not sure and you're wondering, God, I want to pray about this again, but I need an answer. I need this to work. And so because of that, we don't have the immediate feedback. I mean, that's why it's so much easier and nicer sometimes to talk in person. Because you see the feedback, you get the facial expression, you get the eye contact, and you can tell if they understood, right? You can tell, you know how it is, you're talking to somebody and you see that blank look and you're like, you have no idea what I'm talking about, do you? And they're like, no, I do not. And you can explain it, but with God, a lot of times you're praying and you don't get that. You don't always get it, so the feedback makes it difficult. Now don't, I know this word, I tried to find a better word that was less offensive, but the fact is sometimes we don't know how to pray. That's all I mean. We just don't know how. We don't know what to pray or how long or what words to say, and that's okay. I don't care if you've been a Christian forever. There's still times where you're sitting in prayer and you're thinking, God, you know this need, and it's big, and I'm not sure what to say or pray. Sometimes your prayer might be like a conversation. Sometimes your prayer might be just you pleading on your knees, God, please, please. The when can be a problem. When do you pray? I will be honest with you. There are so many times as a high school kid, I would wake up on my knees by my bed because that's not a good time for me to pray. I sleep at night and I'm awake in the morning. That's just me. So for me, the time is in the morning. It just is. When I wake up, I'm awake. I don't need to go back to sleep. It's fine. But and I know we're not all like that, but for me, if I'm actually kneeling, my head's going to be on the bed in a second and I will just be laying before the Lord. I think some of our difficulty with prayer comes down to our personalities, and we're all different. God made us different. Celebrate it. But we're different. And I know for some people, prayer is difficult because they're just not about words. They're not. And maybe they're about service, and they could serve God all day long by helping people and doing things, but connecting with Him in prayer is an effort for them. You know what? I get that. But it is still something that we need to work through. For some people, I think maybe their personality, they if they find it difficult to connect with, okay, I know people that are like this, where, maybe you do too, it's our day and age. I hesitate to text some people because I really just want a quick answer, but I know if I text them, what are they going to do? They're going to call me. And I don't have time for a phone call. I'll call them when I have time to talk. I just don't have that time right now. I just need a quick answer. But they don't play like that. They don't do that. This is young, and it's not an age thing. This is a personality thing. It's who the person is. And I know that about some people. So there's some people, I just don't text them. And I'll try to remember to call them, and sadly, a lot of times, I don't end up calling because when I can talk, I forget. Another thing about personality that I think it makes it difficult for some of us to pray is that determination factor. Again, I know people who are so determined. If they decide to do something, they're doing it. They are doing it. They're just that way. And I respect that. But I know for some of us, it's difficult to be like that. And so because of it, you can't push through the difficulty in prayer. So prayer drops off. With all that said, though, I am not sharing these scriptures to make you at all feel guilty or challenged. I'll tell you why I'm sharing them in a minute. So if you're feeling a little discomfort with these scriptures, that's partly good. It's partly intentional. Let's look at these for a minute. This is Matthew 14:23, about Jesus. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. What do you catch out of that? Any qualifiers there? What sticks out to you? He was by himself. What else? Anything else? He was up late. Yep. He was intentional. No, Yep. Leave me alone. I'm going by myself. What else? Anything else? Say again? Late at night? All right, how about this one? Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. What do you see here? I couldn't hear you, Shirley. He again went off alone. What else? It was early this time. And he felt led to, obviously. I think that's significant, Carol said, because he felt led to. If he did this every morning, I think it might have said that. But the first scripture we looked at said he did it at night. This one said he did it in the morning. To me, that's significant. Anything else? Yeah, he was getting away from distractions. And I'm not sure if this is, I couldn't focus on who was saying that. But was that you, Michelle? Okay. Notice he left the house he was in. Do you see that? I know for some of you moms, that might not be a good idea, but he left where he was to go pray. Now, the thing I was going to point out in the last verse that I will point out here, and I was going to point it out later, but this is Jesus, the Son of God, the creator of the universe, did these things, okay? Look at this one. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. What do you see here? Wow, yeah. Wow, yeah, I got that. What else do you see? Come on, guys. Yes. Thank you. It's painting a picture for Jesus' need for prayer. Jesus, remember, King of the Universe? Okay. What else do you see here, though? Obvious stuff, right? Mountainside again, all night long. Okay. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up unto a mountain to pray. What do you see here? He was teaching them. He was showing them what to do. And not only that, it also illustrates he didn't always pray alone. Okay? But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. I like this because it's almost a summary of the ones we already looked at. Notice it says often, lonely places and prayed. One thing I want to point out about this, though, this is chapter 5, verse 16. Look at 15. But the news about him was spreading even farther, and large crowds were gathering to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. You know what's significant to me about this? His ministry was exploding. Popularity. All of that. But Jesus pushed that away and aside and went and prayed. Something else you need to think about for a minute. A lot of times I think we get the idea that success is the numbers and the successful ministry or whatever, and you know, whatever that is in your context. But even that brings stress, and you still need to pray in the big good times as well. Now, with all that, I want us now to focus back to us. So what is our motivation to pray? And this is where I believe the Holy Spirit was speaking to me and said, I miss my time with you. And this is where it hurt really, not hurt, but I really was drawn to him and wanted to spend more time with him. So what's the motivation? Frank mentioned faith. Faith is huge. My faith in Christ is built deeper the more time I spend in prayer. Yes, time in the Word does that as well, but then there's a balance there that you cannot get just reading Scripture, but in the Word. Not only that, I think about, I need him. He says he misses his time with me. You know what? I was missing my time with him. I was missing that. And when I felt him communicate that to me, there was almost an aching inside, like, what? I miss my time with you. He doesn't need me. I need him. There's something about it that you can't replace with anything else. And I realized I needed that in my life, and it was missing. There's something else about it where, you know, we looked at where Jesus was going, you know, the crowds were following him and all those wonderful things were happening, but he went to a solitary place to pray. And there's times in our life where, as I was looking through that, I thought, man, Lord, when this was happening, I wasn't really spending time with you, and this was going on, I wasn't. And I need you. I need you in those big, good times. I need you in the dark, lonely times. I need him. I need him. It really comes down to this, and that's relationship. I know this isn't probably an old example that you've heard a million times, but relationships are built on time. They're built on time together. You know how that works. Well, let me give you an example. Maybe this happened to you. Maybe in school you went on a retreat or a trip or a field trip or something, and you spent an extended period of time with somebody, and then you realized, wow, in that 2 hours, 3 hours, maybe 2 days, you got to know somebody deeper than you would in a whole school year because you spent time together. You spent time together, focused, intentional time. The same as, I mean, it's an obvious thing when you compare it to marriage relationship or a friend relationship, but how often do we really apply it to our relationship with him? It's time, time, time. I think about this. What's close to my heart? Well, he is. Then I need to spend time with him. Who's on my mind? I want him on my mind. What's on my mind is what I spend time with, and it needs to be him. It's those experiences we share together. I saw this quote, and I was going to put it on Facebook, and I thought, that's almost too harsh for Facebook. Now, that may sound weird to you because people put pretty stupid stuff on there. I don't. I'm not looking to fight with anybody or offend anybody. I'm looking to lift people up there. That's just me. But I didn't put this on, but I'm going to share it with you, not to be offensive, but I'm sharing it with you because when I saw it, it cut me to the quick. It personally cut me to the quick. And I looked at it and I thought, oh God, that is not me. Even though I've been communicating that to you by my lack of prayer, look at this. Prayerlessness is an insult to God. Every prayerless day is a statement by a helpless individual, I do not need God today. Man, I got choked up. And I thought, God, I don't mean that. If anything, I need you more today than I did yesterday and the day before. I deeply, deeply need you. And this I did put on because when it's hardest to pray, pray the hardest. Pray the hardest. When it's hardest to pray, pray the hardest. Would you stand with me for a moment? And would you close your eyes for a second? I shared those things with you tonight, not because I'm proud of them, but because I really feel like it's something maybe that's universal, that we all have shared to some degree or another. I just want to ask a question, and really this response is between you and God. I'm not even going to look up because I feel like it's important, though, for you to be honest and just raise your hand if it's you. And so I'm just going to ask it this way. As I've been talking tonight, maybe has the Holy Spirit just said, I miss my time with you. If that's you, just raise your hand. All right, you can put them down. Here's what I'd like to do. David, if you could just put some music on. I want to invite you to come down front. You can walk around, whatever works for you. But I would like you to spend a few minutes. And if you're one that the Holy Spirit was saying to you, I miss my time with you, you're not going to catch up in 10, 15 minutes here, but just tell him, start that up. Tell him, God, I miss my time with you, and I need you. And I certainly didn't mean to communicate that I didn't need you, and I need you. Just spend a few minutes pouring your heart out to him that way. And then if any of those struggles with prayer has been you, maybe there's been some doubt, maybe there's been some scheduling issues, then talk to him about that. Tell him, God, I want to be better about this. When would it work? When do I need to schedule that time? And tell him, I'm going to do it. I'm going to set my alarm and I'm going to be up at this time. Or maybe for you it's evening and the last thing you do before your head hits the pillow is that time. But spend that time with him. I invite you to tell him. Come on down.